Please be seated. The end of the church year is finally here. I am not going to tell you how many days it is to Christmas. Because as much as you know, or may have caught the gist, that I look forward to Christmas, this Sunday is far too important to be celebrated in the shadow of any other. Christ the King, or reign of Christ, we hear our scriptures proclaim that Jesus is King, the same King that we will call a newborn King, Emmanuel, in the coming weeks, the same King that people welcomed into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, crying, Hosanna to the Son of David, that is, King David, and the same King that Pilate asks the people, shall I crucify your king, as we move towards Easter? The king we meet when we interact with the hungry, the naked, the imprisoned. It all sounds rather fabulous, doesn't it? A down-to-earth, relatable king who is easily found in the people we meet. But if you find yourself a goat when Jesus returns, well, that's not a great day for you. This is one of those parts of the Bible that leaves us with questions not just about our king, but about the goats and the sheep. Who's who? Which are we? What happens to the goats, who are really very good goats, but they just don't know Jesus? There is a bunch of discussion about the Greek word used in Matthew's gospel for all the nations. Some say it means literally all the nations. Some say it refers specifically to Gentiles. Either way, I don't think it changes Jesus' intent. If Jesus is coming to judge the whole world, as we understand to be true, then all of us will be called to account for how we've treated the least among us. I think what is worth noticing in this story is both the sheep and the goats are surprised. They ask, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you or did take care of you? And what are we to take from this, that surprise? That those who were following Jesus' way, the ones who did take care of people, clothed people, visited and welcomed people, their surprise tells us this was simply their way of life. Their way of being. And for some people who do not say they are Christian or who do not know Jesus in the way that we have come to know Jesus, this is their way of life too. And I can't think that a God who sacrifices God's self for the whole world would not welcome those who lived God's way without even realizing it. And I'm sure every single one of you here knows a person just like that. A person who doesn't come to church, who isn't a person of faith, but they just have a way of knowing what's right, what is good, and not just good for them, good for everybody. When I meet people like these, I am often remembered in Luke when Jesus says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I think some people know God in a way that cannot be described with the language that we have, and I think that's okay, because I believe nothing is impossible for God. What then, for those of us who have come to know Jesus, what does this passage say to us? Well, I think it's pretty simple. I think it says the same thing that Jesus has been saying the whole time. It's simple. Do good because it is good. And God is good. And God made you and called you good. So that is simply what you were made to be. You were made to be good. Jesus didn't come and teach us, you ought to be salt and light. He said, you are salt and light. He didn't command his followers to hunger and thirst for justice, to pursue peace and so forth. Instead, he blessed those who just did it. Judgment then simply brings out a reality that has been present all along. We are either people who follow Jesus or we aren't. So how to respond? I think feeding and clothing are pretty clear, and we have ways that we support those kinds of endeavors. But is there more we are being called to do? Well, yes. And what about visiting those who are imprisoned? Well, there's no prison here in Powell River. I spent much of the week looking into the mist for an Alcatraz, but was disappointed. However, there are prisons that people find themselves in that are not governed by the laws of this country, that they become trapped in for doing nothing wrong themselves. Sometimes people find themselves imprisoned when their mobility is weakened, or when they lose someone they love and their grief takes them to a place they feel they cannot escape. And that feels like a prison. And those people need visiting. And I was reflecting this week that we could definitely be doing better at that. I could definitely be doing better at that with some help from all of you. Judgment is only scary for us to think about when we know we are not choosing to be as good as we were made to be. When we care for the least among us, we are living in God's kingdom, and we are not living in eternal punishment because we choose. And when we are not, we live in eternal punishment because we choose not to see the least among us as our brothers and sisters, which means that we do not meet Jesus, which means that we have separated ourselves from God. I'll read that bit again since I fluffed the beginning, okay? The judgment is only scary for us to think about when we know we are not choosing to be as good as we were made to be. When we care for the least among us, we are living in God's kingdom. And when we do not, we live in eternal punishment because we choose not to see the least among us as our brothers and sisters, which means we do not meet Jesus in the people around us, which means we have separated ourselves from God. So it is very simple in the end. Whatever judgment day looks like, and whenever it comes, believing in God or having faith does not equal salvation. Faith has to be a verb to us. Faith has to be a verb to us that we do, that is lived and acted out every day and in every instance for the good, not just of ourselves, but of everyone. Amen.